This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big cube. This deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go. Taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go. Taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go. Taco to go. Taco to go.
$2.99.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Five on. Leila Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I got five on it.
That's right. It is time for Five on It. And when I say that I was cackle laughing at my phone while doing one of my many tasks yesterday, whether preparing for our show, watching the games, or doing some housework, I'd like to say that when Grody and I get together, the thing goes off the rails pretty easily, the show. But this was unhinged even for us, some of the topics we came up with. We've already alerted Dan Wiederer to what he has to prepare for tomorrow. Dan didn't even know. He's just minding his own business on a Monday. And we're like, no. We need you to get ready because we cannot fit in all our questions today. So that's the level of the five on it you're working with on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score. What do you think, Mark? Do you think the world is ready for all of this?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like we almost did it already. So this is actually, we did the dress rehearsal of halftime of Five on It yesterday. Let's see how it goes today.
All right, question number one. Are you more concerned about the lack of depth in the Cubs' starting rotation or at third base?
I'm more concerned about the lack of depth in the Cubs' starting rotation for obvious reasons. This causes a horrifying chain effect in my mind, where unfortunately I have the bullpen already gassed by like July 8th. Yeah, I mentally can't deal with that in my mind. I don't know who's in my circle of trust at all times. Now, after what happened with Julian Merriweather, I'm wondering what's going on with my circle of trust in him. And that's not okay because he's typically been in it. So for me, it's definitely starting pitching. Additionally, as much as I have talked about the importance of third base on this team, Sahano Sharma and Patrick Mooney did a really good article last week in The Athletic talking about the issue with third base across the league and how offensively it is not producing. So I'm glad to know that at least it's not just the Cubs that are having this apparent issue.
Yeah, no, I would say, look, from the beginning of this season, the reason that I thought the Cubs would not advance beyond winning the division, that they would not win playoff games or playoff series, was because they didn't get Bregman. I looked at that and said, okay, that again, that's symbolic of the problems. Now, Matt Shaw comes up, no good. No good defensively, no good offensively, completely overmatched. And then it was just errors. Gage Workman, errors. Vidal Brujan, error. Even John Birdie, error. So it's a problem at third base. Don't get me wrong, but the starting pitching stuff is real, and they've handled it very well, quite frankly.
They have. Like, shout out to Colin Ray.
Shout out to Colin Ray. Shout out to Matthew Boyd. Even Ben Brown came up big, but guess what? It gets different when you have to depend on these guys because they're in a really comfortable place right now. They're lower part of the rotation. Now, Matthew Boyd, you have to be good. Colin Ray, you have to be good. Jameson Taillon has been really good in his last two starts against Milwaukee and Philadelphia. Now you have to be good. That changes things. That changes things from the mental perspective and that you're counting on these guys. So it's a big deal with these two guys down right now. That's the biggest problem on the Cubs right now for sure.
Five on it. Is free agency really over for the Chicago Bears?
All right, this was inspired by Ryan Poles' interview with Lou Kanellis and us talking about Bears free agent needs, right? It clearly a running back discussion kind of advances the Nick Chubb, J.K. Dobbins type of talk. So I was thinking about it when it came to Ryan Poles saying to Lou, free agent was basically over, free agency, and that was back at the owners' meetings. But I still think that until there's some sort of commitment made regarding Dobbins, you know, the tender was issued. We know what the Chargers did in drafting a running back high up in the draft. This is still a discussion. Free agency is not really over to me. Can the Bears get some more cap space by perhaps an extension with Joe Tooney? I refuse to believe it's done yet just because I think that there are still a couple of questions that need to be answered on this team. Until they tell me it's not, I'm going to keep believing.
I don't know if they're going to make a splash necessarily. I don't know if they're going to get a running back like of note, but they're probably not done. And unless something has happened, you ready for this, Layla? Unless something has happened in the last hour or two, is Keenan Allen still available?
Oh, yeah. Good question. How many receivers do you want on this team? 95?
Like I said, I think it was the last time I was hosting with the two of you guys. I want like what we had in 2019 when there were 30 kickers all over the field interviewing them. Wide receiver. Let's get this. It was like our questions last night that we were going through. We came up with about 15 questions, didn't we, for this segment? And then we had to narrow
it
down.
I think it was 20, actually.
20 questions for this segment. We had to narrow it down. So, yeah, you know, think about Keenan Allen, the guy with whom Caleb Williams was most comfortable. And he came out and said, oh, look, Amari Cooper is available still. So bring him in. Hey, guess who else is available? Aaron Rodgers. That would be quite the splash.
Three were on a team together? Keenan Allen has also been linked to the Giants.
Okay.
Have they made an official roster move yet with one of those four quarterbacks? I'm looking into Tommy DeVito here. Have we talked about the Giants quarterback room? That's another five on it segment at some point or discussion.
Yeah. Mario Edwards Jr. is available. Former Chicago Bears defensive lineman.
Yeah.
You know, keep that rotation going on the defense.
Now?
You can never have enough guys. I'm just going to guess. I'm going to say he's 32 or 3, Mario Edwards.
Why did I think he was older than
maybe,
that?
Maybe. But we could figure that out. So, yeah, I think that there's some potential for some signings, but those are some fun names.
Five on it. Hi, welcome to the messy corner here. And at
Leo?
Five on it, we have a messy corner, new segment within the segment, the messy corner of Five on it. And our juicy, messy question for this edition is, can former Bears VP of Communications Brandon Faber fix Bill Belichick?
Okay, I'm the one who asked that question. Because I don't know about you, Mark Grody, who actually worked with Brandon Faber when he was the head of PR for the Bears. And he used to be... What was he the head of PR at the time for the Blackhawks during their title run?
I think he's done the Bulls, Blackhawks, and Bears. Prominent positions in all organizations.
Yeah, I knew that he was with the Hawks while they were going through their title run. And now, unfortunately, we know other things that were going on there as well. And then working for the Hawks at the time was a very distinct designation. Goes over to the Bears and then is no longer with the team. To link his name to a possible solution or fixer role, whatever you may want to call it, with Bill Belichick and this whole Jordan Hudson situation, which the New York Post has been on, to say the very least. Latest from the Post is Jordan, what's Jordan's last name? Hudson? That she talked her way into that Dunkin' Donuts commercial that Belichick was in.
She's got to be the star.
Somebody's telling the Post a lot of truths right now, I guess, or maybe their truths, so to speak. But either way, what interesting people to put together to try to make this make sense. Does he need more PR? Absolutely. Does that come in the form of Brandon Faber? I'm not sure. Did I underestimate Brandon Faber as perhaps a fixer? Because that's clearly what this might be.
Yeah, yeah. Could be a fix. I mean, he was with the Chicago Bears for a long time, who tend to, at times, have issues in media relations.
We know what was
public
going
relations.
On. I mean, the Hawks' sexual assault during the title run, the Kyle Beach case is enough to bring up here. It is, unfortunately. The Hawks have acknowledged that, you know?
Yeah.
Can he fix the situation with Bill Belichick?
Is he a fixer?
The PR version of this? It sounds, the more and more we hear about Jordan Hudson, the more and more I think that is she's telling you who is the executive role in this relationship, is she not?
Yeah. Yeah, again, I go back to opportunity cost for Bill. He's just got to let some things go. And I bet she's got to deal with some things with Bill, too. I'm sure that Bill is, we know Bill is difficult. So she's got to deal with stuff, too. Did I ever tell you, this is probably a good time to tell this story. Wasn't Brandon Faber, but it was on Brandon Faber's watch. This is actually pretty hilarious. I'm a Bears reporter, as most people know, full-time Bears reporter. I think it was, what's the year right now? What year are we in, 2025?
I just think you're full-time Grody.
Yeah, I'm full-time Grody. I want to say maybe 2020 or so. Here's the headline. I was suspended for a day from Hallis Hall. I was suspended for one day.
Did you take the squirt?
What?
Bottle of the squirt?
No. It's much better than that, actually. And for the record, it was not Brandon who suspended me, but he had to approve it, and nobody had my back, I might add.
I've noticed how that can happen at times.
Yeah,
amongst the media corps.
Nobody had my back. That was a boss.
That was a boss?
I'm not talking about here. But anyway, I was working for the Bears Radio Network then, which makes this even more interesting. Here was why I got my one-day suspension. Because I tweeted something too early. And they've been all over everybody, which I understand. There's got to be order when it comes to tweeting. When are you allowed to tweet? When are you not allowed to tweet? Because everybody's obsessed with tweeting and making sure we get the right tweets out there. So I tweeted a little bit early. They had been warning people. So basically what had happened was I was made an example of. While there were many people who had tweeted early. And I'm not going to name names because I like everybody on the Bears beat.
What was the information?
You know what it was? I think it might have been... It was a running back injury. Was it Jordan? I don't remember. But anyway, that's
it
really not...
It was a running back injury?
That is not... There was something that we were all breathless after watching a practice. So I get a call from somebody saying, and I will say that the person who called me was very nice about it. He said, hey, man, he's like, I hate to have to do this because we really like you and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, you tweeted too early, so we're going to have to suspend you for a day.
Had you ever been written up before?
No. And to this day, it's ridiculous.
So
and
you got suspended before you got written up?
I didn't get written up. This was just the Bears. The Bears just
on your permanent record.
The Bears just said we're not going to let you. We're not going to let you on the compound for one day. Basically, it's a credential matter. It's not an employment matter.
Oh, well, you said you work for the Bears Radio Network.
I was on the Bears Radio Network. It's a very complicated situation. I work for the Score. I'm a full-time employee for the Score, but I had a foot in the Bears because I was doing sidelines for the Bears.
Okay.
And so, since I tweeted early, I was told not to show up the next day.
Wow.
It was the weirdest thing. And people broke that law constantly as time went on. I didn't see anybody else get suspended, so it was pretty hilarious. Yep.
Well, that's not a fair application of punishment then.
No, it really wasn't. It was ridiculous.
I want justice for you. Well, it's kind of a long time ago. I think
we
could get justice.
I'd like justice, too. I'd like justice as well. I would.
Speaking of things with the letter J, journalism finished second in the Kentucky Derby. What a segue. Is that the best we can ask for in 2025?
I think that journalism finishing second in 2025 is something we're all going to have to come to grips with, unfortunately, as the assault on facts continues. But in the meantime, I knew that the favorite would not win the Derby, especially with that track being what it was. Very muddy. So Sovereignty ends up winning. And I guess for the future, I just got to keep in mind that Bill Mott knows how to win on that track.
Look at you.
Yeah. He won in 2019 on a sloppy track that was Country House. So I feel like that guy knows something like similar to how he always, elevate Bob Baffert. Maybe not to that extent, but we need to keep in mind this particular trainer, Bill Mott, when it comes to his success at the Derby. So nice to see Sovereignty win. It was still a fun race, even though it was not as back and forth. But that's, again, because of the track conditions. Rain is, I feel like, becoming an increasing issue at the Derby this time of year.
What is rate?
Did you rain.
Say? Oh, rain. Yeah. No, that's a nasty thing. I was like, they're really going to run this thing? Those poor horses out there. Did I ever tell you the time I got suspended from the Kentucky Derby?
Wait, was it for a day because you tweeted about a horse?
Because I tweeted, as did everybody
Barbaro,
else.
She's hurt. Barbaro.
Wow. That's a really sad story.
Oh, Barbaro. Barbarino.
Oh, I didn't even put that together. I just, the first horse that came to my mind.
It's all right.
Sorry, Barbaro.
Rhymes with bears. Barbaro, bears. They rhyme. So here's my takeaways from the Derby. You ready? Jason Wirth looked hilarious in his neon green suit and his top hat. He looked like it was kind of like a cross between Dumb and Dumber and a Batman villain. And I have a soft spot for Jason Wirth because I covered Jason Wirth in high school in Chatham, Illinois.
Amazing.
Downstate, Springfield kid. That's right. So I enjoyed that. The Mike Tirico thing was wild. Mike Tirico began broadcasting the event, and then he apparently got really ill and had to be replaced mid-broadcast. Apparently a nut allergy that he was dealing
That's
with.
That's what was reported, yes.
Yeah. So that was wild to see that. And then shout out to Steve Buttleman. Steve Buttleman, the bugler. 30 years for the Buttleman.
I love that this was such a point of observation with you.
You guys were like, okay, you're ready to know. Why do you want to talk about the bugle guy?
I'm like, why are we repeating this name?
Right, and I said, well, just his name is Buttleman. And it was his 30th year doing the thing. So I don't know why you guys don't have respect for Steve Buttleman like I do. What's the matter with you guys?
Okay, we have some questions about apartment etiquette here. 5A, question 5A. Should Layla keep cooking meats that should be grilled in... Hold on. Should Layla keep cooking meats that should be grilled in a 700-square-foot apartment where she has neighbors? And the bonus question is about Grody's apartment. Is it okay that Grody lets his cat wander the hallways of his high-rise and scratch the neighbor's welcome mat?
All right. So
we've got indoor grilling and an apartment wandering cat.
I don't have a grill, okay? But I have a balcony, and I've been thinking about getting a grill, but then I just somehow make do. My apartment building does have grills for public use, so I could have used them, but it was raining. Mitch was bringing me brats from the brat stop, so I didn't realize that these were not cooked, that I needed to do the cooking myself. I probably should have specified, because you can get either or there. So I was like, I got these brats I need to make, because, you know, you want to make them at some point, because they were a couple days old at that point. So I couldn't use the grill. It was raining. I couldn't use my grill because I don't have one. So then I'm like, there are ways to cook these in the oven or the air fryer. The air fryer started to go a little crazy. So naturally, there was a lot of grease and smoke and not a fire and not
the alarm
anything.
Go
that,
off?
No alarms went off. But it's a smell.
Yeah.
It's a smell in a tiny apartment. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do about that part of it.
Which leaked into the hallway, I assume. So everybody was smelling your brats.
Exactly. And I don't want to be the jerk that's cooking all this stuff inside. And this is not the first time. In fact, Second City Prime, I got their frozen meat. And there was something that I wanted to cook. And it was a steak. I did the whole indoor steak method, which requires like an iron skillet and, you know, your oven as well. So, again, just a lot of smoke is what happens there.
Yeah.
So yep. I feel like a jerk because I did this, even though they came out successful, all the things that I have cooked, but I didn't realize how much smoke it was going to produce and then ultimately smell for my neighbors. So I'm sorry, guys.
I can raise you on that. I just realized that just sparked a memory. When I lived in Springfield, Illinois, I lived in an apartment and my dad was visiting. So he and I were doing some kitchen steaks. I did not have the ability to have a grill in that place. So we were frying up some steaks, and the alarm goes off, smoke's going into the hallway, and guess who showed up? The Springfield Fire Department comes in full force.
Were you suspended from Hallis Hall a day because of it?
The police come in. My dad and I are smoking. My dad has a personality very similar to mine. So we were just having fun, and the firemen come, and we're like, it's all good, gentlemen. Come on in if you'd like some steak here. We're doing just fine. But
I love you offered it.
It was just like, of course, and you know how it is, like with the fire department, they cut, like, even if it's just a false alarm, they come storming, man. I mean, you've seen it in the city. I've seen it in high rises that I've lived here. It's like, that's their job. So they do a great job. But it was a moment in a little apartment in Springfield, full force fire department. As for Dave the Cat, yeah, for some reason, Dave loves, I get it, he loves being out in the hallway. It's a place to explore. I get it. It's pretty neat.
It's outside for him.
It's outside for him. So I've gotten to the point where I trust him enough to where I just lodge the door open and I let him wander and I go about my business. But the one thing that he does is he just loves to go to the neighbors and scratch the welcome mat in front of them. And every once in a while, he'll go way down the hallway, and that's where I got to call it off. Luckily, so far, I have not gotten caught by any of the neighbors. So stand by for Dave acceptance. People either accept cats or they don't accept cats. You know, that's the cat world.
No, I feel like that is true. And if there's one thing that I have learned, cats don't have owners. No. Cats have staff.
That's right.
Like, that cat has hustled you.
Oh, yeah,
you
he hustled
work
me.
For Dave.
5:30 in the morning, he hustled me today.
Yeah, and didn't you say that this was an issue, like, at 4 a.m., he'd be hustling you for food?
We're getting there again. He comes in, he'll cuddle up to me and, like, hang out, and, like, cats are perfect for that. But then he's like, okay, pal, I want a little more from you at this point, you know? Little heavy meow, and I'm up, and I'm giving the cat food, and I go back to bed.
Does the neighbor know that Dave the Cat has scratched his welcome mat?
No, that's just it. I don't know how they would handle it. How would they handle that?
They don't know that, like, they haven't noticed the texture of the mat has been affected?
Well, we haven't been there that long, so I only think I've only been there for 4 months or so.
Is it a scratch, or is it biscuit?
Oh, no, it's like the full... Like, they dig in real good. You know, when they get, picture a cat on a scratching post.
Oh, my word.
Digging in real good. And like, sometimes I watch them. I'm like, come on, man, hurry up. One of these days, somebody's going to open that door. So I look, and I'm like, come on, man, keep scratching. I'm not going to take you away. Come on, man, keep, okay. And then I feel relief.
I think you need to buy them a new mat. Or buy Dave one, so that way he does that to your place. Maybe, it's just a welcome mat.
No, I think he just likes doing it to the neighbors, though. He did this in the previous place, too. It's his thing, and it makes me very nervous.
He destroys other people's
he's not destroying it. So it's fine. Like, he's not destroying it. There is, like, it's a pretty strong welcome mat, I would say. If he was actually destroying it, I would probably stop it. But just, I mean, they may not like cats. They may be allergic to cats, and this cat is digging in on their welcome mat. So I fear for Dave and I. Love you, Dave. Shout out, Dave, if you're listening.
Sounds like Dave is running the show here, to say the very least. We have a question that also came up during our Five On It segment that I actually think it's finally time to properly assess.
Oh, good.
Jose Quintana was on the mound, and you know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Let's revisit a trade that was considered pivotal for both teams and somehow ended up with neither team getting what they wanted. Next.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And the 3-2 from Quintana. Swinging a drive. Right center field and deep. Back toward the wall. That ball is going to be gone. Three-run homer, Pete Crow Armstrong. Listen to these Cub fans here in Milwaukee.
That was Pat Hughes. Over the weekend, the Cubs take 2 of 3 from the Brewers. They won the first two games handily, get shut out 4-0 yesterday as we await Shota Imanaga's status. And in the meantime, get to see a familiar face in Jose Quintana, formerly a free agent. The Brewers pick him up. Somebody I thought that the Cubs maybe could have used when they were looking for pitching depth. And somebody who is no stranger to playing on both sides of town. Rahimi and Mark Grody. In for Marshall Harris today, middays on The Score. And Mark, I think you did the same thing I did, kind of like how we watched the Pirates series, knowing that this is a Cubs team that rivals at least the hitting talent of what we saw out of the 2016 team. Similarly, we're looking at Jose Quintana on the mound after watching what we thought was a pretty good Cubs series overall outside of Shota, saying, is it finally time to figure out what happened to that trade? Is it finally time to evaluate the Jose Quintana trade?
There was a time when the White Sox were dominating that trade, for sure. Jose Quintana.
Thanks, Cubs.
Yes. That was a great line by Jason Benetti. Stuck it to every Cubs fan. Good for him. The White Sox were winning, and there was nothing the Cubs could do about that. By the way, Jose Quintana, 36 years old. It feels like he should be 41. He's just been around so long and of consequence from the Yankees and the White Sox and the Cubs and Brewers, and I know there's more in between as well. Let me just take you through the ride from my vantage point. On July 13, 2017, the White Sox traded Jose Quintana to the Cubs for Eloy Jimenez, Dylan Cease, Matt Rose, and Bryant Fleet. First game after the All-Star break in Baltimore, I was there. I was on the Cubs tour doing pre and post. Oh my God, did he look good. He struck out 12 in that game. Remember it vividly. Quintana ended up in the year 2017 with an 11-11 record combined, 4.15 ERA, again, 2017 combined. Here's the key stuff here. In 2017, Jose Quintana, game three, because this is what it's all about, game three of the NLDS, a 2-1 win over Washington, 5 2/3, 0 runs. Pretty good. NLCS, game one against the Dodgers, 5-2 loss to the Dodgers, 5 innings and 2 runs. NLCS, game five against the Dodgers, here it is, 11-1 loss to the LA Dodgers. Jose Quintana allowed 6 runs in just 2 innings pitched. Can't have it. Cannot have it. Now, quickly, 28-year-old Eloy Jimenez, by the way, 28 years old these days, feel like he should be older too, made his...
Eloy Jimenez is 45.
made his MLB debut March 28 of 2019, soon after getting, by the way, a 6-year, $43 million contract. 2019, 31 homers, 79 RBIs in 122 games. 2020, played in 55 games. In the 2020, that was also the wild card year for the White Sox against the A's. He was in that series 1-for-2 with a run. The White Sox lose that series 2-1. Liam Hendricks, etc. All of that went down. He was not available for a lot of that. In 2021, 55 games. You could see the pattern. He's not healthy. In the playoffs that year,
2021, he tore his pec flying into the wall.
Oh, that was the wall year. Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering what was the wall year. So that's the wall year.
2021, Dan and I nearly lost our minds.
Yes. So he did.
Well, we did.
He did make it back for the playoffs that year. It was a 3-1 playoff series loss to
the Astros.
Houston. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know why I wrote down Baltimore, but it was Houston.
Eloy, he ended up going to Baltimore.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Eloy, 5-for-17 over those 4 games. And then it goes on. 2022, by the way, 500 record for the White Sox that year. He played in 84 games. 2023, 120 games. And in 2024, 98 games, a year in which he had a negative war. Eloy is no longer here with the White Sox. Now, Dylan Cease, this one's the quickest, so don't worry. Dylan Cease, in 2019, his first year with the White Sox, 14 starts, 4-7 with a 5.79 ERA, a negative war that year. 2020, 12 starts for Cease, sick. 5-4 with a 4.01 ERA. 2021, 13-7 with a 3.91 ERA. Game three of the NLDS, 1 2/3, allowed 3 runs against Houston. So he was not an effective performer in the postseason, nor was Jimenez. To some degree, Quintana was, but an overall disappointment was Jose Quintana as well. So where, Leila Rahimi, does that leave us in who won the Jose Quintana White Sox Cubs trade?
I present to you.
Yes.
Also, do we have the audio of when you talked about being there? You know the story behind my experience with it, right? So every summer, NBC Sports Chicago used to do an outing because it was a good time to treat their employees, and we would always typically pick the All-Star break. It would be one of the days during the All-Star break.
Yes.
I lived very close to the station. I also am single and have no kids. So it's easy for me to come in on short notice. So I kind of knew that. I knew that sometimes I'd be on breaking news duty because it wasn't, you know, it's not difficult. I'm keeping it track anyway.
Right.
I live nearby. Okay, let's go.
Right.
It was said, I like to drive into chaos. Let's take you back to 2017 when we had to report about this on the air.
When they told me at the office that I would be the one saying these names, as you can imagine,
better you than
I
me.
Threw a party in my head and then I told everyone on Twitter about it. So here we are, kids. It is my pleasure to say that it was 2 Reddit users, Wet Butt 23 and Katy Perry's booty who first discussed the trade on a White Sox subreddit Wednesday night.
As they did. Also, I didn't know that I would be bleeped on the radio and yet somehow not bleeped on network television.
Props to Katy Perry's booty.
Katy Perry, if I'm not mistaken, guys, back me up on this or check it out for me, please. And I think Katy Perry's in town tonight.
Oh, really?
I think Katy.
Didn't you and I
back
go
from space?
Didn't you and I go to her last show?
We did
in town.
It was the Jingle Bash. We ran into. I was there with my nieces. We had good, and then we ran into Aunt Layla.
Auntie Layla, who cusses on the air, or makes it sound that way. I did not cuss. Apparently, you can say it on cable, and you can't say it on broadcast. Let's go back to what we know about this trade. I like to talk about second generations of trades. Like you could have a trade tree where what are you flipping that person for later, right? I think that that is how a lot of dynasties get made, for example. It's something I learned covering the Astros organization. It's what I consider here. The White Sox, unfortunately, wanted playoff wins. That was their window. We know that. It didn't work out. So what kind of value were they going to get out of Dylan Cease and Eloy Jimenez moving forward? Unfortunately, they didn't get, I think, as much as they probably wanted for these two respective talents either. And I say that knowing exactly what was given up for Dylan Cease. Eloy Jimenez was traded, but unfortunately, I feel like not at the height of when he could have been. And so he goes to Baltimore last year for Trey McGuff. And Eloy is at the AAA level right now.
Like that's, I know that.
That's the sad part about all of this is where somebody
are
we hoped would do so well, and I will never forget doing those White Sox pre- and post-game shows, talking about how he was batting .375 in Charlotte. Is spraying to every field possible. Just absolutely mashing minor league talent. And how at some point you knew he was going to come up.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have ended the way it did.
He had some great moments, and so did Dylan Cease. I'm not saying that
Dylan
these guys
Cease,
were a waste. These guys
Dylan
were
Cease,
terrific for a time.
He came into his own, I want to say, in that 2023 season.
Yeah.
And you knew it was only a matter of time before the White Sox were going to flip him, so they did. In that trade, the Padres got Cease. The White Sox got Drew Thorpe, who is considered a high prospect at the time. He was 85th overall. Samuel Zavala, Jairo Iriarte, and Steven Wilson. I like to think that similar to the return the Sox got for Chris Sale, you at least want two of those players to work out. So it remains to be seen. I know Drew Thorpe suffered setbacks, you know, injuries, that type of deal. Again, that's going to happen with your pitchers. So did they get enough asset-wise in return? The answer is still not there yet. So when it comes,
so we're going to do this again next year. we're going to be asking the question of this trade like 10 years from now. Will it ever end? And I should point out too, a certain baseball insider did point out to me correctly that 2020 was only a 60-game season because that
right.
was the pandemic year.
Yeah,
I think I'd mentioned.
Well, when you said 55, I thought it was assumed that people
yeah,
would know 60.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, and I wasn't thinking that in my head. So I'm glad that clarification was made.
I wonder
what
that.
Our baseball insider thinks about that, who won the trade. I wonder what he's thinking. Maybe he'll text me that.
I think, unfortunately, the Cubs were trying to extend their window in trading for Quintana. They gave up two of their most tradable prospects to do so.
Mm-hmm.
One of whom could have been set as a cornerstone for the team moving forward in Dylan Cease. Additionally, they offloaded Yu Darvish. If they had kept Cease, knowing that at that point he was still of an age where he was young and he had years of control, and would they have kept him through the window or would they have traded him?
But the Cubs were about winning then. I hated the idea of Dylan Cease and Eloy Jimenez leaving but there was so much repetition at the positions, and you had a core in place for the Cubs that looked like it was going to be there for a long time. So it was painful to see those guys go. It was painful to see Gleyber Torres leave, but you bring in Aroldis Chapman. That's how you function when you're at the elite levels the Cubs were. You got to trade those props. Prospects to make your team better now. So honestly, I thought it was a good trade. Like at the moment, in theory, for both teams, but we're not doing in theory. So it's still so we're at the end of this here now, Layla. Are we at a can't call it still?
No.
Are we calling this we can't call it?
As wild as it sounds, it might come down to Drew Thorpe for me.
Okay.
If the return from the Dylan Cease trade to the Padres still nets in big league talent for the White Sox.
Where is Thorpe right now?
He's got that injury, right?
Okay.
Because I was trying to figure out if he was going to start on opening day. So, yeah, he's... I forget what the injury is.
What about Matt Rose and Bryant Fleet?
Yeah, exactly. But that's the issue, is it's not just about timing your windows. It's about finding out who is going to be a part of your team moving forward and how.
Drew Thorpe, Tommy Johns.
Oh, he is one of the ones with Tommy John. I remember writing him down, but I wasn't sure. So, yeah, Drew Thorpe is getting Tommy John surgery along with five other White Sox pitchers. So that's the unfortunate scenario we're faced with. But it shouldn't just come down to that one. You want a return where at least two are on your big league team.
Yeah. Yep. By the way, good for Jose Quintana. I think Quintana's going to be one of those guys still pitching at 40.
The Cubs could have used him to do what Chris Flexen is doing, just saying.
Right now. Well, hey, maybe the Brewers, they're, what, 3 games under .500 now? Maybe they could just cash it in, just be like, let's do business with Craig.
You knew he was going to get a job. That's the point. You knew Jose Quintana was going to get a starting job somewhere, and he has.
Good for him.
Additionally, you thought our five on it was over. Oh no, our stream of consciousness birthed another question, and I feel like this is only the continuation of 100 men versus gorilla. This is another one of those where you're asking yourself, can I really do this? So we'll present the scenario to you next on The Score.
Raheemy and Harris.
Who is calling on our Score hotline? It's brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois.
Who calling?
Hey! Ozzy.
It has been very great news to see you got your own show. You earned it. You deserve it. Now you have it.
Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? Coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions, no doubt. You better believe things would have been different. I'd have gone pro.
Uncle Rico would have gone pro. Meanwhile, Kip's online talking to babes all day. What a scenario that unfolded for the Napoleon Dynamite family.
Kip.
I want to remind you to keep listening for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Cubs and the Marlins at Wrigley Field next Monday night, May 12th. Mm. It is provided by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch.
A boss?
A boss. I tried to say like Rick Ross. I don't know that it went well, but I tried.
I'm sorry. I don't really speak wrestling. So
Rick Ross is a hip-hop artist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't speak wrestling.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
I don't speak hip-hop either.
I have to gather myself.
Isn't there a guy that has a Rick Ross-sounding name in wrestling?
Roman Reigns, maybe?
I think Layla got it. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Rick, there's not a Ross in wrestling?
The way I just looked at Ray.
Hey, Layla got it. I think it's Roman Reigns that was on your mind.
Clearly that's the case.
Well, there's Jim Ross, who's the announcer.
Yeah, Are you talking about Jim Ross?
It's very different people.
Oh, I know what I'm thinking of. David Ross.
The Cubs manager?
Yes, that's who I was thinking.
Because he likes wrestling?
No, that's not what I was thinking.
From Georgia.
Connor O'Donnell just got very happy. That's his guy.
Really?
David Ross?
Oh, yeah. If you're in the Twitch app, the mob, that's his guy.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with having David Ross as your guy.
At one point, wasn't that your life as the Cubs reporter as well?
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, I saw David Ross becoming what he became, and that is a manager. I mean, he would tell it like it is in that locker room. He's on the airplanes everywhere.
Every time Daniel Palencia is on the mound recently, I laugh. And I think about the interviews on the Midday Show. different times. All right, so this was also birthed of our wild five on it segment where I think we were all a bit off the rails, which I enjoy. It is this time of year. In the spirit of can 100 men beat a gorilla, Robbie, I think you came up with a good common man question.
Do we have a follow-up question?
Yeah, so yesterday, not exactly the gorilla situation, but I was walking around Wrigley yesterday and walked by Sluggers, I think one of the coolest bars in the entire Chicago area. I mean, like, what bar has batting cages in it? It's so cool. And I was walking by and I was, you know, like, doing the thing in my brain. I was thinking, like, if I had unlimited coins or tokens to those batting cages for an entire month, could I train myself to hit a 95-mile-per-hour fastball that's just right over the plate? 95-mile-per-hour. Could you guys train yourselves to hit a 95-mile-per-hour if you had unlimited coins for a month?
Okay, so first of all, we've all been in the batting cages at Sluggers, yes? All of us,
correct.
Right?
Yes. It's awesome.
And that's not a baseball coming out of the, what do you call that? The machine, I guess?
Machine. Yeah.
Machine.
The pitching machine.
The machine.
Yeah, the machine. Rick Rude and Rick Flair, by the way. Maybe
Rick
that's where
Rude.
I was going. Is that what
okay.
it was?
Okay. That's probably
am,
it.
Am I getting my credibility back?
You're right.
Some legendary Ricks in wrestling right there, yeah.
Rick
for
Ross
sure.
was at the height of his popularity like 10 years ago.
So was David Ross.
Fair enough. Wasn't that Dancing with the Stars, Rossi?
No, that's 10 years ago.
Dancing with the Stars, David Ross, was at the height of his popularity.
Do you realize that next year is the 10th anniversary of the Cubs winning the World Series? So 10 years ago, David Ross was about to win a World Series as a Cub.
Wild how that works. The fact that it's been 10 years is really disturbing because I feel like it's been a year since the pandemic, but that's another
Seriously,
story for another day.
Really messed up time.
Do I think I can hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball out of the machine at Slugger's? Hell no! What are you talking about? That's still 95 miles an hour. I don't care for how long I'm training. There's no way.
It's just timing, though.
I was going to say,
timing. You say it's just timing.
It is.
Like that. You say it like it's saying it's just astrophysics. Like,
I can do that in one day. It might take me a couple of runs. I can hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball off a pitching machine, if it is predictable, yeah, I don't need a month.
Well, one day is, I think, a lot. I think you're underestimating it, but also, like, I agree with you. Once you get the timing of it, I think it's
all about timing. If you're not afraid and you have some rudimentary skill in baseball.
Like, you're not in the batter's box and you're facing off against, like, Rawlis Chapman or anything. It's just the machine pitching 95 miles per hour.
Right,
and let it be known that in a skirt and after a few social sparklers. I was ripping them to right field one day at Slugger's, and that's the only time I've made contact in 10 years.
We need to take the show to Slugger's. We need to
have
a night out.
But
okay?
We never get to hang out in the batting
cages.
Well,
let's just do a night out. We'll bring the video camera, and we'll take pictures, and we'll see who can pull this off.
You know the movie The Rookie, though? I think it's with Dennis Quaid, who's like the teacher who's like 45 years old and becomes a pitcher. That could be you, Grody.
See?
Some scouts looking at Slugger's like, wait a minute.
Whoa.
Took him one day.
This is just like when men think they can all land a plane.
I mean, I could if I had.
Right. Listen, I love men, even though a lot of them suck. I still love them. And I just want to say that sometimes we all have to know our limits, you know?
Right.
95. Do you remember, like you remember Grody? Robbie doesn't. He wasn't alive like 10 days ago.
Correct.
But there was a time where if you threw 97, And that ball was as straight as an arrow. People were just embarrassing themselves at it at the big league level.
Oh, yeah. I mean, only in the last 15 years or so, maybe not even that, has everybody been able to throw 97 to 100. Pat Hughes, when I was doing the Cubs, like from 15 to 7, he would always make the point on the radio. He would always ask Ron Coomer, where did all these guys come from? Where did all these guys throw a 97 plus? Where did they all come from? It's pretty amazing that what has happened with pitchers, but that's another old topic.
So I don't care how much time I have. I'm going to take that one day at Slugger's a couple years ago as my trophy to myself.
I think so. Yes.
The rest of you, there's no way. I'll bet good money on this.
Ray, you think you can do it? You guys don't think you can do it. Am I the only one here?
I can 100% do it. I can 100% do it.
So it's a softball out of the machine at 95?
No, it's a regular baseball.
Was it a regular baseball?
They do both.
Were you?
Mine was definitely a softball.
You were hitting so well, they look like softballs.
No, trust me now.
Oh, okay.
not that drunk, Rose. Not that drunk. I usually know my limits. I'm not going to pick up a thing that can be a weapon and just rip it in public like that unless I think that I might be able to make some contact.
Rude Ross was the hip-hop wrestler?
No.
People just making stuff
I
up
know,
now.
I know.
Ray, do
I
you
know.
Think you could
falling
hit 95?
Falling for the trap.
I think...
That's a trap!
I'd like to think I'd be able to do it, you know, within a month I can do it, but given repetitive training and constant training, I think I'd be able to do it. I don't know how well I'd be able to do it, but I think I'd be able to do it.
Nah, my money's on the machine.
I don't blame you for it.
I would be flailing like an idiot. Like Javi Baez's worst timing day, I would look 11 times worse than that.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's going to be pretty, but
like the
I
bat won't
be
even be
it.
In my hand. It's going to fly out
school?
Of it somehow.
Right, Ray? You played high school baseball. Yeah?
No, not high school baseball.
Oh, I thought you
no,
did.
No.
I don't know why I thought you did.
Basketball.
Okay. I see you.
But Grow, do you think you can?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. 100%.
To have the confidence like that. 100%. I can land this plane.
Yeah.
I can hit a 95 mile an hour ball and out of a machine.
Texter saying 25% of men think they could beat Serena Williams, too, in tennis. So
that's not happening
no,
either.
No. Nor can you beat somebody, a woman who plays college basketball or WNBA or high school basketball.
But what
basketball.
I've learned is that confidence combined with yourselves. You know, and who you are.
Y'alls.
You will get a lot of jobs that way and have a lot of opportunities and keep them.
Oh, jobs by Layla. You're listening, kids? It's all about confidence.
Now, 224, miraculously, I am a righty. I don't know what happened that day. I don't know why they were going to right field. I felt like Tim Anderson.
You were drunk as a skunk, I think, is what happened that day.
I was not as drunk as a skunk.
I think that it's all adding up to Layla was tanked.
I just didn't understand. No. But like,
why? She's drunk as a skunk. Well, like, she's three sheets to the wind.
But like, why was I able to hit the ball so well?
Because you were drunk and you had a skirt on. That's what happened.
That's usually how you don't do that.
Well, see? Sometimes drinking enhances our performance.
Guys, I am a terrible righty. Like, I know how to do like two things with my left hand. It's really bad. One of them is paint my nails, though, and that's why I'm cheap. None of this means that I should have been able to hit the ball the way I was that day. I got to get in better shape.
We all do.
847, confident I could kick a 25-yard field goal and stop 30% of 10 NHL shots in goal.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, I need to learn your confidence. All right, we are late for break because we actually have a guy who did do things at a very significant level. James Big Cat Williams is joining us next. He can teach us how to do a lot of stuff on The Score.